Well, very warm welcome to you if you're new here tonight or you're kind of new to the community. My name's Emily and it's great to have you with us. It's fab to see so many people back. Welcome back, Brooks, as well. We've missed you guys. We've been going on for a few weeks without you, so it's good to be together. And it's a real privilege tonight and a joy to get to continue on in our series. I feel quite far back. I might just push this forward a little bit. To continue on in our series this term, which we've called A Spiritually Strong Generation. And we're kind of journeying through practices, or you could call them spiritual disciplines, basically ways of going deeper in our walk with the Lord and kind of being this spiritually strong generation. And for those of you who were here last week, you'll remember that we were looking at contemplative prayer, and we're kind of going to look a little bit more about prayer this evening. Just to give you an idea of the format of these nights, if you are new, so basically I'm just going to open up this topic and then they'll spend the rest of the nights in your small group. So we're going to be doing a bit of Bible study and then getting quite practical and doing having a go at praying together. Now, earlier on in the week, I can assure you this isn't how my normal Mondays are spent, but at my college at Wycliffe Hall, we had a bit of time of Q&A with the Honourable Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, who was hanging out with us, and we were encouraged to ask him questions in relation to his three top priorities for the church, and in case you don't know, they are prayer, evangelism, and reconciliation. And when he was asked to explain a bit more about why prayer is one of his top priorities for the church, he simply responded by saying, "Well, because nothing happens if you don't." And then he went on to say, "Without prayer, we're just an NGO with a steeple on top. If prayer is not at the center, we're just a waste of space." Mic drop moment from Justin Welby. That was a pretty good response. But really, this is the heart of what tonight is all about as we continue on in our series, looking at this theme of being a spiritually strong generation. And this topic of prayer is huge. And Julie, like I said, did a fantastic job last week of unpacking a bit more of what it is to be contemplative in prayer. We're still struggling to say that. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it. But essentially, we had a go at being still before God, and we took a bit of time to examine our day and invite him into kind of places where we were with him and where we might have missed him, and just really kind of allowing the Lord to speak to us in that way, and through that to transform us into being more like Jesus as we spend time in his presence. And this is kind of simply at the core of it what prayer is all about. It's about our relationship with God, and it's a two-way thing of speaking and of listening. And so last week, I would say, is perhaps more about being with Jesus. You could even say abiding with him. And Jesus' invitation to us in the Gospels in John chapter 17, verse 7 is this. We might have this verse on the screen. Maybe I've given the wrong reference. But the verse I want to say is, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Perhaps it's verse 7 of 17. Oh no, John 15, verse 7, if you want to get that up, but just for your own reference. Let me say that again. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Abiding and asking, I want to say that they're two sides of the same coin when we come to prayer, abiding and asking. And that this theme, intercession, that we're going to look at tonight, intercession is the overflow of intimacy. And so some of you might be familiar with this word intercession. For others, it might be completely new. That's totally fine. And interestingly, the Bible doesn't actually use that word intercession that much. But we could define intercession as the action of praying on behalf of another. And that is something that we see a lot in the Bible. And intercession really is part of the DNA of this church, of St. Aldate's. Our kind of strapline, you can see it written on the doors there, is to be a house of prayer for all nations. And tonight we really want to kind of take hold of some of this and offer an invitation to pray and to be asking God on behalf of others. Now, Jesus is pretty strong on the importance of asking, and I find it interesting that the only thing that the disciples sort of specifically asked Jesus to teach them to do in order to be effective in ministry was to pray. It wasn't, "Lord, teach us how to lead a good Bible study or how to do a good one-to-one." It was, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then Jesus responds with what we could say one of the greatest prayers ever prayed, with the Lord's Prayer. You can read it in Luke 11 or Matthew 6, and we could spend a whole evening thinking about the Lord's Prayer. But that first line in Matthew 6, it starts with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And just focusing for a moment on that first line, we see what is central to intercession. It's about joining in with Jesus in asking for God's kingdom to come and saying, "Our Father in heaven," we get to join in with what he's saying to God. And then saying, "For God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven." So before we even get into what we're actually asking for, and you're going to do more of that in your small groups, I just want to take some time now with you to unpack how incredible it is that we can even come to our Father in heaven in prayer and to ask for his kingdom to come. That it's an absolute privilege to pray and intercede for the world around us. And so to just sort of get a bit of a bigger vision for that, I want to take us on a little quick tour of Genesis. I'm just going to pull out a few verses. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Yes, we've got it on the screen. Great. So in here, we've got the creation account. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we read, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" Now, in the ancient world, the image of God was actually that of king. And so when we read in Genesis about what it is to be created in the image of God, it kind of helps us to think more about this idea of a king and his kingdom. We see that humanity, in that verse, was created to rule, to have dominion over the earth. And so humanity created in God's image was to reign as a royal son or daughter with the king over the earth under God's authority. And that's quite something quite big to take in, but just think about that for the moment. To join in with God in cultivating and creating and kind of exploring the world around us, this is what it is to be created in the image of God, to reign with him under his authority over the earth. This is God's original intent and design for humanity. But then, of course, the story goes on in the account of creation. God gives Adam and Eve a choice. And there's so much we could unpack in all of this. But essentially, as part of being created to have a relationship with God, we're free to choose to love him in return. But then, of course, tragically, as we read on in chapter 3, we see the fall, the disobedience of Adam and Eve in choosing their own path. And I'm taking us back to Genesis, hopefully not to overcomplicate things when we think about prayer, but actually to understand a bit more of essentially the problem, but also the solution when it comes to prayer, which is kind of the bedrock for intercession. You see, at the root of all the kind of chaos that we see in the world around us, all of the evil and the suffering, it isn't as a result of lack of education or poverty or the lack of clean water or bad government. All of that, whatever kind of issue you want to insert, all of that is symptoms of what is at the core of the problem. And the root of the problem is the sinfulness of the human heart. It's the desire, if you like, to be allegiant to our own kingdom rather than the King of Kings, to his kingdom. And that the problem with the world is that sin has entered into it, that it's corrupted our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves and one another. Ephesians 6, verse 12, talks about the war that is going on around us isn't against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so when we're engaging in prayer, it's something beyond what we see just in the world around us. But all hope is not lost, because from Genesis on, we see God's solution to this problem, the root of the problem. Pete Gregg is an amazing intercessor and author of many great books. And one he's written on prayer is called Dirty Glory. And he says this, he says, "Intercessory prayer is a form of partnership with God. And the Bible teaches that the power of this human divine partnership is integrated into the design of creation. Adam and Eve's willpower was able to defy the will of God. But thousands of years later, when Jesus stood in another garden and prayed, 'Not my will, but yours be done,' the darkness and death of that first garden was repelled and banished by God's light and life. Whenever prayer is reduced to a clumsy technique for getting God to mutter a reluctant amen to our selfish desires, it is merely wishful thinking in religious disguise. But when prayer is an amen to God's desires, it is profoundly Christian and powerful beyond measure. So this is huge, that God, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things, in his kindness and mercy, would not only humble himself by becoming a man, by entering into the sinful mess of this world, by taking on our sin on the cross, but that through his death and victory over that, we have the right to become children of God, children who then share in his royal identity as sons and daughters of the Most High God, through him to be given access, if you like, into the throne room of heaven, to come before God to say, Our Father, in prayer, and then begin to ask for his kingdom to come. This is the starting point for intercessory prayer, to recognize the incredible privilege we have to come before our Father in heaven and pray in Jesus' name. Pete Gregg then goes on to kind of illustrate this in that same book. He talks about, basically, imagine that Theresa May, the Prime Minister, was to call you up tomorrow and basically say, in the interest of greater democracy, the government has decided to include the opinions of ordinary students like you guys. Well, not, you're not ordinary, you're amazing, but it's including your opinions in issues relating to national security. Basically, you've been chosen at random, and she wants you to come and share your opinions, and she wants to listen carefully to you about how you want to see the country run. Imagine if she rang you up to ask that. I think most of us, we wouldn't ignore that. We would take note of that, and we would want to talk to her, and actually probably recognize this as a huge privilege to have an ear to the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister to have an ear to you, sorry. And then he goes on to say, well, as a Christian, you have received an even greater invitation. The King of Kings requests your presence at the very seat of government. He offers you a place on his executive so that you can influence his actions on behalf of the people. It is an unspeakable honor, but all too often, we're too busy or too disbelieving to accept the invitation. This is a pretty huge challenge to us tonight. And the Bible is full of examples of how prayer really does make a difference. And you're going to look at one of those examples in just a moment. But also, if we look throughout history, so many of the amazing moves of God, of when we've really seen the church thrive and grow, and even around the world today where the church is really, people are becoming Christians and we're seeing God move, it all starts in prayer. And what I really want us to hold on to is it's not whether we feel like praying or not, how kind of fired up we are, but actually the starting point is recognizing that as God's sons and daughters, that through Jesus, we all have incredible access to God the Father, to come boldly before him in prayer. And that is where we're going to start this evening, of recognizing that privilege. But just to get a little bit practical about how we go about intercession and what does that maybe look like in our day-to-day lives, and this is really just an introduction to the topic, but just thinking about this on a personal note and then in a kind of corporate sense, the first thing really is to ask God to help us to pray, to ask the Holy Spirit to show us more of God's heart for prayer and to inspire us and to help us to pray. That's really where it all begins. We sing songs like, God, break our heart for what breaks yours, and recognizing what you're actually saying, that's a pretty big prayer to pray, but it is an amazing opportunity and adventure to begin to allow God to show us more of his heart for prayer. Secondly, something that can help just personally to think about how to pray for stuff just beyond our own immediate situation is to kind of keep a prayer journal, or if you have a journal, to have an area where you just write down prayers. That often helps me. I think I so easily forget what I've prayed for, but then when I look back, I can see how God's been answering prayers, and it helps me to keep praying. Another thing you might want to try, we've got some we're going to hand out this evening, they're somewhere, these little prayer cards, Liz, you'll hand them out afterwards, just quite simply, just a little card with 5 points on it, and you might want to use it to write down 5 names of people that you want to be praying for, and just have that slotted into your Bible, and then you can just use that to refer back to pray for people. But also, having the Bible open when you pray is so helpful. It's a springboard to know, kind of inspire us how to pray. But then more corporately, what are ways in which we can be inspired and to kind of continue on in prayer for things going on in the world around us? my experience of this was actually as an intern. There's daily prayer meetings that happen in the church, and I'll mention those in just a moment. But we got assigned to them, and the interns know what this is like, very early in the morning. Tuesdays was my choose joy day because I had to get up very early and make coffee and then go to this prayer meeting. But I actually ended up really loving it. And it was a prayer meeting that still happens on a Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. To pray for the Muslim world. And to be honest, I really didn't know much about that when I began going to that prayer meeting. But you know, there was something amazing about hearing about stuff that I had no idea what was going on, that how God was moving. People would come from different countries and share things that were really going on. And I think in a weird way, whatever was going on in my life in that week, going to that prayer meeting, suddenly you realize that God is so much bigger than perhaps the Oxford box that I put him in. So going to a prayer meeting that's praying for something specific in the world around us can be a really helpful way to begin to engage in intercessory prayer. And there are different prayer meetings that happen during the week here at church, and we'll put more information about those out. We also have our student prayer meeting on a Wednesday from 1 till 2 in the catacombs. And the catacombs is also a great space for you to use. I remember when I was a student, I used to have an hour that my friend had booked, and we'd just go there together and pray. And just having that regularly scheduled in was just a great way in the week to kind of think about being able to pray for stuff going on in the world around us. Thirdly, actually just being aware of what's going on in the world, having kind of your Bible open and then the news, can be a really great way to keep engaging in intercessory prayer. And then fourthly, another great way of corporate prayer is to prayer walk. Actually, this can happen alone, but it's something that I would really encourage you to do with a friend or in a group. Prayer walking can seem like a strange thing. It's like, do I pray out loud? Do I pray in my head? How do I do this? There's not really a prescribed way, but I used to meet with a friend regularly, and we just prayer walk along Cowley Road. And I remember we'd never really have a set agenda. We'd just say, okay, God, we're here. We want to be able to pray. And it was as if we'd start walking, and suddenly there would be almost too much to pray for, as you're just sort of looking around you and beginning to pray for the street. And again, it's just a great way of learning what it is to pray with the Lord. And you're going to have a moment now to discuss different ways that people have journeyed in intercessory prayer and talk about that, and also look at one of the examples of prayer from the Bible. But just to land, remember what I said at the beginning: without prayer, nothing happens. And when we look at the world around us, we desperately need to see God move. But we do have a hope. We can pray, and we need to pray. Karl Barth, the theologian, said, "To clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. To clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world." When I was praying for us as a community about this, I had a picture of, and I almost could see an army that was beginning to wake up. And this is this amazing privilege that we have to pray together. So wherever you're at with all of this, I encourage you onto this adventure of intercessory prayer, of partnering with Jesus as royal sons and daughters and saying an amen to his kingdom coming in the world around us as it is in heaven. So let me pray, and then we're going to break into our small groups. Jesus, you never said it was going to be easy. But you said, take heart, because I have overcome the world. And I thank you that as we come before you tonight in prayer, we know that we're praying from a place of knowing that the victory has been won, that you are seated on the throne. And Lord, I pray that you would come now by your Spirit and help us to pray. Teach us more about what it is to pray and inspire us as we pray tonight. We thank you for the privilege that it is to pray. And I ask that you would continue to be with us as we move on throughout this evening. Amen.